It's a story of two brothers who were greatly loved by their father, but who hurt their father deeply. They didn't appreciate his love, and they didn't want to be like him. They wanted to live their own way. It's a story of how one son learned what his father was really like, but it's also the story of how the other son didn't want to learn. How one son changed and the other son didn't want to change. Two different sons who were very different from their father, but they showed it in different ways, but they both were very selfish, thinking only about themselves and not of their father. But as I said, one son changed. It's a story about change. It's a story about how change is important in our lives, but especially change about how we think about God and how we live before God. It's also a story that tells us about God and why we should want to know this God and why we should change to be close to this God. It's a story about a father's love for children that cause him a lot of hurt in his heart. The story has three parts. Jesus tells us, first of all, about the young son. And today people often talk about this part of the story. It's the part that everybody knows. Sometimes it's called the story of the prodigal son. The word prodigal means someone who goes out and makes a waste, a wreck, a ruin of his life. And it's not a surprise that people know this part of the story, because that really is how many people live their lives. But we mustn't forget the other son, for some of us are more like him, and we will meet him in a moment and think about him. But throughout the story, all the time, Jesus is calling us to look at the Father, to think about the Father, what he is doing, what the sons think about him. Jesus is asking us, do we understand that this Father is a picture of God, and that maybe we need to change, to ask questions like, can I change? What does it look like to change? Will God welcome that change? Will he welcome me if I change? These are the questions Jesus in this story looks at and answers. So let's start with the first part, the first son, the younger son. When you heard the story, did you shake the head? Did you say that is such a sad story? How could he treat his father like that? We know he is making a big mistake. He wastes all the money. He gets half of what will come to him when his father is dead. But he just goes off. He doesn't want to honour his father. He doesn't want to live with his father. He doesn't care about his father. He doesn't care that he's hurting his father. All he wants to do is to live life his way, make his own decisions. He's got the money. He wants to have fun, to enjoy himself. And that's what he does. He's having a good time. Life seems so great. Lots of fun, lots of friends. But then things change, says Jesus. The money runs out. The friends run away. They were only there because he had money to spend with them. He has no more money and they don't want to help him. They leave him, no friends, and there's no fun anymore. He has to find work. And the only work he can find in this faraway land is to work for a man who owned pigs, to look after those pigs. It was a dirty job, a smelly job, hardly the life that he knew back on the farm with his dad and his older brother. He was a rich man's son. He had servants. He would never have had to go near the animals like that. In fact, Jesus is showing that he had the worst job on earth, because to Jewish people, pigs were unclean. You didn't eat them. You had nothing to do with them at all. And so to work with pigs was, in a very real sense, the worst job he could ever have. He couldn't think of anything worse. And what he realizes is that the pigs live better than he does. He's making sure that they've got food to eat, but he has no food for himself. They eat better than he does. Here Jesus is telling us that people have left God. We make the decision that we will live life our way. We're like this son who leaves the home and the farm and the good life and promises and help of the Father to go live somewhere else under our own rules, doing what we want with our lives, not what God wants. And like the younger son, we don't want to live near the Father, to be reminded of the Father. And what Jesus is saying is that that's what people in this world are like. They have turned their back on God. They've left him. He is not a part of their lives. They will live the way they want to live, but they are lost. They're cut off from God. They're cut off from God's care and from God's help. They have lost true life itself. And just like this son, many do not know it. They think that life is good, and then things perhaps go bad. Troubles come, and they realize perhaps how foolish they have been. We read here that this young man came to understand this. He came to understand that his father's servants live better than he is living now. And he begins to think about heaven. He begins to bring God back into his thoughts about what life is really like, or should be like, or could be like. He sees his misery, the suffering, the sadness, the hunger, and he realizes that his life, which wasn't very pleasant, wasn't very good, was but a picture of his heart. That he had rebelled against God and had hurt his father. He didn't live the way he knew and his parents had taught him how to live. And he knew he had to change. He also knew that he had to go back to his father and to say sorry, and maybe hope that his father would give him a job. Just a job. His life would be much better. And that's when Jesus tells us a little bit more about the Father. You see, here's a young man who needs a father's love. Here is a young man who needs his father to find him. And what we see is a picture of the father finding his son. What Jesus wants us to see is that the father in the story says about his son. Twice he says this. He was lost, but now he is found. He says that to his servants as he gets them to create a party. He's so excited. The son was lost, but now he is found. And he says the same thing to his older brother who complains about this party. And he's trying to say to his older brother, but the son that was lost has been found. You see, Jesus here is giving us a picture of God's love. That God in love looks for sinners who are lost because of the wrong in their lives. And that every sinner needs God in Jesus to find him. And that's what Jesus was doing. That's why he told this story. There were people complaining that Jesus was trying to help people out of the mess of their lives because they had rebelled against God. They had made a mess of their life, just like this son. And Jesus was pointing people back to God the Father, bringing them home to God through his teaching. And he's telling them that as they turn around in their lives, as they come back to God and say sorry, they will find that God in love has been looking for them and will welcome them back with great joy. Jesus would have surprised those who were listening by the way he speaks about the Father here. He says that this man was looking, always looking, showing that God is ready to forgive. But when the father saw his son at a distance, Jesus said that such was the love for the father that he ran to meet the son. He didn't wait for the son to come to him and say, "I'm sorry." God is like this father who runs to the sinner. But in the ancient world, a father didn't run. Especially a rich man. He would have servants do that. He would wait for the son to come to him and honour him. By running, the father is honouring the son. And God, by sending Jesus into this world, is not waiting for us to realise we had been wrong. He is chasing after us, running to us, and in that way, honouring us. That God would care about us when we had made such a mess of our lives by living our way rather than his way. That God would want to turn our lives around. So much so, he sent Jesus in the world to make that possible. And as we listen to this story, Jesus says that the Father grabs the Son and loves the Son and calls out to his servants to have a big party. Get the best calf. Let's kill that calf and put him on the spit. We're going to have a party. And there was singing and there was dancing. There was joy. A great time was being had. The father was excited. The son was relieved. He couldn't believe how much the father loved him and welcomed him back. But the father did. When the Lord seeks and finds and brings back to himself a person, a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who says, "God, I have been wrong. I have disobeyed. I have lived my life not your way, but my way. And it was wicked and it was hurtful." God doesn't say, "Too bad, too late." God says, "Come. Come through Jesus, and he shows love. But Jesus says, don't forget the older son. Remember the older son? He didn't say to his father, I want the other half and I'll go and do what I want to do. No, he stayed on the farm. He kept working. In fact, he's out in the fields when he hears the noise. He's trying to work out what's happened. And the servants tell him, your brother who was lost has been found. And your dad's really happy. But the older brother did not join in that happiness. You see, the older brother too had left his father. But he did it in a different way. He didn't live his life different to what the father wanted. He lived his life as he thought how the father wanted him to live. But he didn't do it because he loved the father. He didn't do it because he wanted to please the father. He did it because he wanted to please himself. He wasn't being thankful. Indeed, he was thinking he deserved the father's love. And he complains, doesn't he, in the story. This young brother of mine, who made a mess of his life, who brought shame to you, you've organised a party with this wonderful feast, but you've never shown me even a small party, even a goat for my friends to share. You've never given us anything like that. You see, he was not happy about his father loved his brother. And he didn't think the way his father thought about his brother. And he didn't want to. He cannot and will not love like his father. He complains his father was hard to him, but soft to his brother. He sees his father's kindness and generosity, and he's angry. He's bitter. He's been the good son, and he thinks he deserves better. This is so sad, for it tells us how the older son had worked for his father, but had never got to know his father, that he was not really like his father at all. And Jesus is saying that there are many people like this also. There are those who openly say, I have no time for God. But there are other people who try to do what God says, but not because they want to please God. It's not because they love God. They see God as demanding that they live a certain way. And they try and often try hard to please him, but their lives know nothing of love that they see in him. And they have no joy in that love. They think they've done well, and when they die, God should welcome them. They've done the right thing, and so problems shouldn't come to their lives. They cannot understand how people who do the wrong thing and again are often better off in life, seem to have more fun, better health, better homes, more friends, no problems, perhaps, like they do. You see, they expect God to reward them for being good. But they don't really love God. They do not like God. God has his rules, yes. But what Jesus tells us here is that he is also merciful and loving. He loves to love. He loves to care. He loves to correct people and to welcome them into that love, even to people who don't deserve it. And when you think about it, no one deserves it. You're either like the young brother who lives without thought to God, or you're like the older brother who remembers God but doesn't really honour that God. That's what sin does. It may look different in your life to my life, but it always shows itself in not loving God, not caring about God, not honouring God, not rejoicing until we know the power of God's love through Jesus changing our lives. Jesus is saying that all people say no to God, one way or the other. But some people begin to understand how foolish, not just how wrong, that is. The great thing we learn here is that just like this father in the story, God is there for the rebellious son to welcome him home as the one who was lost but is now found. But he was also there for the grumbling son who thought he was so good and deserved better from his father, to encourage him also to think about what it means to love, what it means to be a true son of this father. He wants to welcome them both back into his family. Because in their heart, in the way they look at life, in the way that they look at the Father, the way that we look at God, if Jesus doesn't change the way that we look, we will stay away from God. But Jesus brings the children home. You see, that's where Jesus comes into the story. It's why Jesus came into the human story. Though he is the Son of God, he was born into this world, which we remember at this time of year, at Christmas time. And he made the way for us to change from a heart and life of sin and rebellion and disobedience and selfishness and not caring about others, and especially not caring about God, to change from that type of living to be welcomed home by God as our Father, and to have a heart that loves like he does. In Jesus Christ, we see the seeking love of God, seeking after lost sinners, whether they are lost in misery like the young son, or lost in thinking themselves so good that they don't need God, as in the older son. Because of our sin, our disobedience to God, we are lost and will be until we come to our senses and turn back to God and find that he is the God of love and mercy, who forgives those who are sorry for their wrongs. And when we turn back, we will see that God has been pursuing us, looking out for us all along. We will find that God welcomes us, forgives and fills with joy through Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost. So take your booklet home. Read the story again. Think about the father. Think about the two sons. Which one are you more like? But also understand, neither of the two sons are happy. Neither of the two sons know God until they begin to know themselves, that they have rebelled against God, that we rebel against God. And God calls that sin. But there is love and peace, forgiveness and joy for those who turn back to God through Jesus. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for the stories that Jesus has told us. And we've looked at a few of these over the year, and there are more yet to be found in the Bible. We thank you for this story that you've used to teach us tonight. You've shown us what a great Father you are, full of love. You didn't destroy us. You sent your Son to save us. You are a God who, when we turn to you, we find that you have been looking for us. In fact, you've opened the way for us to come to you through Jesus. We thank you that he's the one that takes away the wrong in our lives and brings peace with you and helps us to know what you're really like and changes us from the inside out. As we think of the birth of Jesus in the coming weeks, with Christmas coming, help us to understand that this is the greatest gift of love that you have given the world. And may many people, ourselves included, enter into knowing that love by knowing Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.